I got laid off. I got fired.
But here's the thing. I was a binge guy.
I remember seeing her at the local titty bar.
I feel dirty right now just telling it into a microphone.
We're broken around here.
Working man, it sucks.
Everybody, welcome back to the Working Class Souls Podcast. I'm your host, Ed McGowan, here in a break room with my co-host, Josh Accardo.
Edward!
What's up, buddy? I'm going to spill water.
I know, man. You're all over the place today. Are you so excited about our guest? Is that what it is?
I'm psyched.
Anytime there's a
we can talk
curvy
about
side Italian work. Woman in a vicinity.
Oh, curvy.
Old Eddie McG.
I was more about talking about marrying ketchups. That's what I'm psyched
about.
Reading
that book.
What?
Right, hold, I'm reading that book.
Marrying ketchups? All right, hold on. All right, let's hold on.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Do you want to introduce this guest? Go ahead.
Go ahead. So funny.
We're very excited to have our very funny guest today. She's been on Wendy Williams show, Sirius XM.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, America.
Good morning, America. All right. Welcome, Teresa DeGaetano. Oh.
What is your worst day job, Teresa?
Worst day job? I was a telemarketer.
Ooh.
Yes. I lasted 3 days on that one.
What area of time is this? Pre-internet?
This
post-internet?
Is 2003, 2004 time.
So internet, but not like now.
Did
no
you
phone.
Have the
Mm-hmm. I had the headset, mm-hmm. And I just couldn't do it. My friends lasted for like 2 years.
I did it for like probably 2 months. I did it for like a summer.
Wow.
I did one, a student loan one, but it was more like chasing people down for their payments.
Ooh, that's tough. Phone.
Oh, when they hang up on you.
07? Mm-hmm. 07, I think
How long did you do that?
For like 6 months, and then
I
they
bet
laid
Josh
me
would be good at that.
And they laid me off.
Josh is like, "Yo, what the fuck?"
No, because it wasn't my money.
Oh, you didn't
That's
care.
The thing, Mike,
it
you
wasn't
really
my
don't.
Money.
You
didn't
yeah,
care. Yeah, it was. But I did. You have like the all the phone. I couldn't work the phone. The phone to me, like that telemarketer phone, like the special phone with all the lines on it,
mm-hmm.
was so confusing. I couldn't work it.
It's,
could you work it?
Well, there's a click. Like, there's like a pause when you call or like when you're calling
people.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And then the one time I just was on like, I waited 15 minutes and they were like, you know that you're, that wasn't like, you know, I just sat there then. Because I hated the job. I hated it
so
much.
Worst, it's the worst job.
You had to get leads. That was mine.
Oh,
that was
leads.
For something for leads or something like, oh, you know, are they interested in this? And I was like, but they're not. You're cold calling them. It was bad.
Oh, that's interesting. So it was like, what's that? Like Glengarry, Glenn
yeah,
Ross?
Glenn, the good leads.
We got the good leads.
The good leads.
We got those DeGaetano leads.
Just get our hands on the good leads.
Yo, Teresa just dropped off the leads.
The good leads are for closers. Not you shippers in this room. I had the buddy that got me the job. It was so funny. He was another comedian. And the job started at $60,000 for him, and he was management, and it went right to his head. And he got me the job. He wouldn't even talk to me. We couldn't eat lunch together. I don't
Seat's
eat lunch
taken.
With you peons. And then when they got closed down by the Fed, he lost his job, his apartment. He had bought an apartment. He lost it. I had to move him out.
Oh, my God.
I was like, hey, man, I wish you had ate that lunch with me then. Huh? I'm fucking over here moving you out in this electric car. Fucking Prius. I'm loading in your Murphy bed, you piece of shit.
The Murphy bed.
I live in the smallest closet. He bought this, like, $700,000 closet of an apartment in Hoboken. When he got the money, he was like obsessed with buying a
place. So this is right before the mortgage crash.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
So he probably got one of those ARM loans.
Oh,
yeah,
dude, uh-huh. And he got blasted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he was big timing for about 6 months there. He was
big timing.
That fuck. Mm. You did that the glass office. You would see him in there, and I'm like, I watched you come in your pants at Deja Vu's in Las Vegas 2 years ago.
Office spacing you.
He's I mean, like, just like you wouldn't even look
Saturday.
At me. He wouldn't even. Well, we lived the same. He was my roommate. Why we take the train together
and
you won't look at me at the job?
And then he's just closing the blinds like,
yeah.
I'm gonna give you a little nod.
And then I was trying to like shit on the other like management. He wouldn't do it. Like, you know, I can't talk shop. Like, shut up, dude. This guy's Mickey's a piece of shit.
That's
fuck
so
Mickey.
Great. I love, I do that. I love when someone has a shitty job like that, but it's like one grade higher than your position. And then all of a sudden, like, look at this fucking scumbag.
It really is a working class move to get one little bit of power and you just run roughshod over all your friends that you got in.
So how'd you get your job? How'd you get
the bartending job?
The
or the telemarketing? Because my roommates, this was Los Angeles.
Oh.
I moved out there with two friends from college and they both worked there. And I was like, I need a job because I was, before that, I sold Cutco knives for 3 days.
Door to door?
I tried. And so, like, I had a crush on my knife trainer. Like, I had nothing to do. I saw an ad and it was like $16 an hour. And I was like, oh my God, that's bank. And so the guy was bald. It was the first time I was like, oh my God, bald is sexy. Like, I was 21, 22. And so then I was like, I'm going to go door to door with my bag of knives. And my sisters were like,
in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles. They were like, you can't go door to door with a bag of knives. Yeah. And so, like, no one wanted to buy my knives, but they're great knives. Like, they're really
good.
Got a
can in front of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has a can and a Coke can.
And then cuts a tomato.
Ma'am, can I come in and demonstrate these knives for you? Got a Coke can here. Got a children's playground part right here. I'll saw right through it right in front of your very eyes, ma'am.
And it opens up. Like, it's just like, hey, I've got my knives. Like, and I had to go return some of the knives when I quit. So I went to the guy. I was like, I'm not going to be able to finish this. But if you want to go out sometime. He wasn't having it. And I was like, oh, man.
Why? You're ballsy. I like that.
Like, there we go.
Why don't you, you know, if I was a woman in the old, like, in the 80s through the 2008s, mm-hmm. I would be a fucking bottle service girl, any kind of whore I could be. I would love to be a whore. I just think in this day and age now.
What a preference.
With OnlyFans being what it is.
I was gonna say, OnlyFans.
And mm-hmm. now that you work, you're still in a service job now, mm-hmm. right? And the tip culture and how that has crashed everything about ever since the pandemic, which was really great. I always mm-hmm. took care of my servers. And now it's like, hold on, it's not the pandemic anymore. I'm not going to tip you $10 for this $6 coffee. It's like uh-huh. the tip culture is insane.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. I would lean in. Like, if I were you, 03, fucking bottle service, whatever I got to do. Fucking geisha bar, whatever in LA, whatever I got to do to get the foot in, I would do it.
You if actually I could combine the two. You bring the knives.
Why are you not bringing the knives and wearing a halter top? You're just not using your entrepreneurial brain.
Oh, if I could go back 20 years, I would be banging that bottle service up.
Yes!
Oh my God.
Well, you just thought, because you come from like a background that was like, come on, you got a brain, Teresa. What are we doing?
A little bit.
You don't need to show your tits. You got a brain.
Yeah, the bottle service would have come later when I started actually working in a bar in New York City. Then yeah. I was like, oh, okay. That's why my shoes are ugly. I realize we're recording this, and I've got my ugly Hokas on. They're waterproof. I get made fun of all the time.
Those are restaurant shoes
comics.
If I ever seen them. Yeah,
oh, my God. I was beside Troy Allen on a show a few weeks ago.
You got
ago.
That at the whole supply
I know.
Store.
And he was like, are those spaceships on your feet? What are you wearing? I was like.
They're right next to the catering pants.
What's that condition people have? Planner's fasciitis?
Oh, your orthopedic shit.
That's sexy. That's how I got from the wrong train to the end train in 3 minutes. These bad boys. I was like,
they do wonders for the calves, I heard.
You should see these guns.
We got to tell Zachy. We just had Zach Petrovich on, and he had the stinkiest work feet as a server I've ever smelled. Maybe if he had those, you could have saved him some
great.
Embarrassment.
Just, and they cost some money, too.
Yeah, they're
actually,
expensive
they
to, look, to look that
to
healthy
look ugly.
In the foot.
Oh, there's a guy who comes in. He's 80 years old. And I was like, oh, my gosh, Jack, I've got the same sneakers. So
you want to go throw some bocce, Jack?
We talked about the different styles. And I was like, this is a low point.
Oh, my God. Some people talk about Jordans. Teresa talks about orthopedic shoes. Octotarians or whatever the fuck you call them. Octogenarians.
So far, that's why I was
like, now
you
put on your
shoes.
Dating profile? Body of a goddess, feet of an octogenarian.
My poor pinkies are getting roasted. My sister makes fun of me all the time.
Lots of ass, lots of sass, and corns for days, boys.
It helps them not have corns, though. They're good-looking feet for the most part.
How about a foot job with these bone spurs?
I like how all of this, Teresa, takes exception to the corns, but I must correct you on these corns.
Women don't like to be told they have the corns.
Oh, my gosh. I am working on foot fetish material right now that I've been doing on stage. Oh, I dated a guy who was into feet, and he would pay for me to get like to get pedicures because he would give me foot massages.
Oh, dude.
And so, but the material's been going pretty well, so I'm
it's
like...
so huge now.
Is it foot fetish?
Well, it's open. It's mm-hmm. always been huge, but now people are openly
talking
saying they're into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's so bizarre to me.
I knew a dude who like was like
so
love to the when he was doing what's the classy show? He's doing missionary intercourse, and he would talk about how he likes to put the feet in his mouth.
Well, that's part of the joke. Because, okay, when someone's into it,
so
you
gotta
know,
wear these nice shoes.
Yeah. Well, you don't know if the next person's into it. And then instead of having the conversation, like, you the stick. Next guy dated, I just, like, you know, do missionary legs, or I just shove my foot
Women
in his mouth.
New man.
And, yeah, because I was like,
that's how guys do blowjobs.
Yeah. I was like, he's gonna jump up and grab my toe like a dog. If he's into like a dog grabbing a bone. And then I just hit him in the face because he wasn't into
it's
it.
The equivalent of the.
You getting the hit yet? What I'm into?
Oh my God. Dude, you see you're out there raping dude's mouth with your feet? You're going crazy now.
And then I had to play it off. I was like, oh my God, I need some electrolytes. I got a Charlie horse. I got a spasm. Anybody got a banana?
There's
Set the
a
camera?
Little tonic water in the fridge.
Oh, does tonic help though?
That's what I've heard.
That's what you've heard. Okay.
One of his crackhead ailments he's come up
with.
Oh,
I got all the ailments. Yeah. Pickle juice. I do.
Oh, pickle juice.
Oh, yeah. I do pickle juice for like sinuses and like a little garlic. I'll,
but hey, hold on though. You should see what this guy is no got, situation is. Yeah, he's fucked. There's no way a regular human could take pickle juice in their nose like a
I don't
Eddie
put
McGowan.
It in my nose.
Are you sure? You just use it as like a vapor?
Pot?
No. I just drink it. I just drink
like
it.
A neti pot.
I do a neti pot, though.
Oh, yeah. I like a good neti pot.
Yeah, yeah. Neti pot's
we're
nice.
Adults. We're talking about neti pots. You got some comfortable shoes.
So you work in... You worked as a telemarketer and then you jumped... Because you've always been in entertainment. So you always had to work jobs that were entertainment friendly, I assume, right?
Yes.
And that's why you moved to LA. No one moves to LA unless they're trying to do something, right?
Yes.
So you're originally from Pittsburgh, is that right?
South Central Pennsylvania.
South Central Pennsylvania.
So like between, well, you know this because you're from Philadelphia, but nobody in New York knows where like Harrisburg is, the
I
capital.
Do. I played there.
Okay, there you go.
I played every town where you like, no one would know this town.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
That's what it's called. It's so I'm from Carlisle, which is 30 minutes west of Harrisburg. So.
The classy part of it.
Sure.
Yeah,
yes.
The high end.
Yes.
So that's like close to State College then, right?
2 hours south.
Oh, it's 2 hours south. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'm from the sticks.
So you're from a place where people are like married and...
That's like West Virginia.
Well, when
right?
I moved back from Los Angeles. No, I mean, at this point, I'm more of the partnership. That's what more like, I was just thinking about this today. But when I moved back from Los Angeles, I had like 6 jobs and I quit them all within one day. Like I worked at Olive Garden for half a day and I was like, this isn't for me.
Wow,
and
you really know when to quit though.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know one right away you don't want it.
That's the time to quit in Olive Garden.
I leave after lunch. My dad said I could after this one job at an insurance company.
Did you call your dad?
I called my dad. I was 23. I was living with them. And I was like, I don't think this is good for me. And he's like, just don't come back after lunch. So I didn't.
Oh,
I was like, I know that's interesting.
Oh, that's good parenting.
And it was
right
my friend's
there.
Mom too. I was like, sorry.
See, my dad would be like, no, you stick it out. Mm-hmm. You die at this job.
You die at this.
This
Olive
is what
Garden.
You do now.
You live here.
McGowan's don't quit. We work the worst job just until the ground.
You just hate it and you just do it.
You swallow it. You bury it as deep down as you can. That's what McGowan's do. Dude, Olive Garden, are you not
that,
a true
like,
Italian, Teresa?
No, I am, but Olive Garden was like hiring, and then I just
was
didn't
it in
hire.
Pennsylvania?
It was in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes
and
sense.
And so that, then there was like 4 other restaurants, and then, I worked at a VFW.
Ooh.
I did last 3 days, but then when I was locked, because I also had to like put food in the oven, like there was Whoa. Tongue. I had to put like, Ooh. I mean, and like the old men were there, like drinking the dollar cutty starts.
Yeah, those veteran dudes don't play.
Yeah.
We used to buy cigarettes. We used to go, the only place we could buy cigarettes as teenagers was the VFW. Oh. We'd go in there and, man, it was grim.
Oh, it's
just
gross in there.
Grim.
Yeah.
I've pulled
many
an uncle and grandfather out of a VFW drunk as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Like being sent in, like my grandmother would pull in the parking lot and send me in to go get him.
Go get your grandfather.
And the amount of smoke. I'm talking like Chesterfields, no filter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fucking, in, you walk in for 2 seconds, your whole wardrobe, your socks
stink.
Like
your
smell
hair.
Like the smoke,
it's,
your hair.
Yep.
The whole, my dad my dad was really thick into meth, still is. But when we were still kind of, I would hear stories about him, we were still close enough. He dated some chick that worked at a bar at a VFW, something you can strive to. And she would also hang out there because you just don't leave after your shift. You get drunk with the locals.
Yeah.
So I guess my dad was bragging about her. You know, I think it was the last time he's ever openly dated somebody as far as like while being on meth. And he's like, got to come meet her. And I was out here. This is in San Diego. So a bunch of my family went to go meet this woman after her shift at the VFW. And she proceeded to get so mangled that she, my cousin told me, it was like a cousin, my uncle, the wife, like the whole, he brought the whole family to meet this lady, and she gets so drunk that at the bar, they're all like talking, and out of the blue, she just lifts her sweater and just barfs in her sweater and continues to pound them.
Oh, she, a real woman. Sweater barf.
A real woman.
Oh my God.
Sweater barf.
I've done that in a car before, but just because you're sick in the backseat of a car and you're like, can I get out?
Like, and I called him to bust his balls about it. Oh my God. Aaron, your girlfriend puked in her sweater. Yeah, whatever. Your fucking Uncle Doug's an asshole for telling you that. She has huge tits.
The tits caught the puke. I just love that was the saving grace.
It was like a $15 dinner. She was saving it for later. She won't waste it.
She had the VFW prime rib.
Oh my God.
She didn't want to waste it.
Prime rib. They all have prime rib. And then you're like, it's actually good. The prime rib is good.
They always do that. They always it's actually really good.
The prime rib. Get the potato.
There's always some guy with a connection to a butcher, like some other veteran. They get cheap prime rib. I've been fucked up in some VFWs, though. Well, I've done gigs at VFW where they don't even charge you and you drink a whole bottle. They're just like, whatever. I put a 20 down, you're good to go. Man, that place is made for sadness.
There was a VFW in South Philadelphia, but it was like run by like the mob. That was the only VFW I ever found out with. It was just all coke. It was just
some of them are really nice. Some of them they actually take care of.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that place was awesome.
Yeah, right.
Some crazy nights in there.
So when do you start working like tending bar, and was that a detriment or helpful in your like 20s to 30, whatever, like when you were working here in New York City, the bigger cities, was it helpful for your career? Was it helpful for your dating life? Like, help me with this. Because I've always wanted to be a hot girl working at a bar.
Oh, well, thank you.
Because I would love to be harassed. I would love to be sexually harassed by these handsome men.
It doesn't. Okay, for me, that's so funny. It doesn't happen. I just looked at that picture all of a sudden, too.
That's actually from Perry. That's art.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Seriously. 10th District.
It doesn't. I started bartending.
Jewel, as they call it.
I started bartending at, 26 here?
Yeah,
and here. So, here in New York City. And so, working at a bar and then switching over to bartending, like, in my 30s, though. So that was a little later. But I made
like
a lot.
Walking around time, like little bombs.
But I made a lot serving. Like, I could make like more than the bartender serving.
Oh, because you have a captive audience.
Yes, because I was a hustler.
Yeah.
So I knew, I worked at this place called the Ginger Man, which was a beer bar on 36 between 5th and Madison. They closed after COVID. But like, we got all the suits and the button ups. So it'd be packed at 5 p.m. So like, we couldn't make any money during the day. So when I started doing stand up, it was like late 20s. It sucked because I was like, I don't want to lose $400.
Right.
To go do, a $10 gig or $20
bar
show
for six people, right?
So that was challenging.
Listen to this. This is something that you just reminded me of. And we were out in Seattle, and we went to one of these. So Seattle doesn't have any legitimate, nice strip clubs at all. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of funny. And I did a little research because we wanted to get, Seattle coffee. So we found a place that does Seattle coffee, and then we also found a place which is like Hot Girl Express. So the woman in the coffee thing is basically a stripper, but a qualified barista, and wears almost nothing, and promotes it on her social media, tons of followers. You give her extra tips. She does whatever she can do in this little hut in the middle of a parking lot.
She's
locked into it. And I was thinking, man, how great of a job would that be? To be locked in a hut,
dude.
What? Earning money, Ed, with these truckers driving through, just telling you to do stuff.
God,
oh my gosh.
She probably makes about $100,000 a year doing that. Easy.
You think so?
First of all, truckers, I hear lot lizards.
She can't leave the thing. Because we were in a long line because we didn't know what it was. I mean, I saw that because, they're so vague. When you Google it, you're like, it's called bikini coffee. So I'm like, hey, let's do this. It's funny. Ed's like so reluctant. He's such a killjoy. Like, can we just drive through and see this chick's ass and get a fucking cup of coffee, Ed? Can we just be part of the fucking social fabric here for 1 second? It's not always fucking sad tears, Ed. Sometimes you can see some titties with coffee. It ain't a whole big thing.
Hopefully it's not flat whites. Sorry, that's a coffee joke. Sorry, coffee joke.
See, you could have been. That's what I was trying to say. You missed an opportunity there. You could have been a girl in a hut. That's something I would have done. Make a lot of money, and there's tons of flexibility.
Oh.
Similar,
mm-hmm.
to being a waiter.
But you could be running material. Is what you're saying. You could be running material
I'm talking about
lights.
Flexibility is the key. Flexibility. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. See, look at you. You're not going to go do the show for $20 because mm-hmm. you know you're going to make $200 at the thing. But if you knew you could go to the hut.
The hut. The bikini hut. That sounds claustrophobic too, by the way. Did anybody else get that?
A lot of room.
You're locked in a hut by yourself.
She does yoga in there, naked.
And I'm like, oh.
Alone in this fucking, it's in the middle of like a huge parking lot.
It's so gross.
It's so, like he's selling this and I'm like, dude, it was so dank. It was so just scared. I was just like, this poor woman.
They're all waiting for her to get out of the hut too. It's like, who's going to walk you to your car?
There's like a mile away.
They asked her to come out of the hut. She never left the hut.
She lives there.
The hut is like a shanty door. You know what I mean? It's not like
it's with one of those like you know that shit.
It's like that little hook.
The snack shack shed at the Little League with the little padlock. It was one of those. They locked her in. A little padlock.
It was so awful. What year was this? Is it still there?
6 months ago. Oh my God. That's why when Josh started selling it to you, I was just like, dude, this was the saddest cup of coffee I ever had.
I didn't even ask if the coffee was good. What if somebody Yelp reviewed the coffee?
It just had tears in it.
Like great boobies, but the cappuccino was awful.
She added that in on social media, and she's so happy. Like she has the greatest life.
Well,
dude.
She, you know what? She's like a tattoo girl. Like she's like
she
totally
fits the mold.
Like she's like all into like the tats and all that thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is an expensive habit.
Oh, dude.
I mean, the tattoo, like good tattoos. People,
I can't stand when people on social media are depressed. I'm depressed. I'm broke. And then 5 days later, they got a $300 fucking sleeve they just got.
$300?
$300. Those cost like
$1,000.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, so you're saying that
bikini hut.
Hut. So you never worked at a hut.
Never worked at a hut.
So
I'm saying, did you ever use your sexuality to gain? Because I'm actually irritated that when I was in my 20s and had a great physique, I didn't use it to get any spots. I didn't figure out a way to parlay it into fans or spots. I guess the long question is, as a female in the industry, and now that you're in a place where you went about it in the same way we did, which was like, I'm going to write these jokes, I'm going to hit these mics, I'm going to work hard. Do you ever get irritated that you didn't use your sexuality to get ahead?
What a question. No, but there's a lot of people that... It's interesting. There's a lot of people because of OnlyFans that still do that now. And there was someone that started doing it. And it was funny. They started posting some racy photos. And then I was like, her bra is twisted. And that really bothered me. It really bothered me. It did. And I was like, someone help her. Like, help the girl
That's
out.
What I'm saying, though. It's like, and, I feel like there's a certain range of people that you've aged out or you just don't have the capacity to do. Like, I wouldn't have the capacity to be an OnlyFans model as a male. I've seen male OnlyFans models that do like sex content. There's no way I can. That it just doesn't compute.
I had this conversation with my boss last week, which is very funny about OnlyFans.
At the restaurant?
At the restaurant. Because there's one that's a comic and she does very well for herself and he knows her, whatever. But I was like, oh.
He knows her from comedy or he knows her from OnlyFans?
Knows who she is, but he doesn't have an OnlyFans. And I just want to look at someone's OnlyFans and see what they're doing. Like, not in a creepy way, just like in a general. Like,
I'll tell you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'll tell you what they do.
Are they all naked?
Are you talking about comedian people?
Yes. Are they?
Okay, it depends on who you're going for. Like, you are actually a comedian, not just a female comedian, but a comedian. There's very few women that I've seen that are OnlyFans as well comedians that I would put into that same category. Like the only ones I can recall off the top of my head that are doing OnlyFans and also getting gigs, they're really leaning into OnlyFans.
Okay.
I would say they're doing pornography.
Porn.
They're doing porn. It's not like they're showing their, like, here's me on stage. But now OnlyFans is trying to bridge that gap by having OnlyFans comedy for some people that do stand up on OnlyFans. They sent me a link to, like, submit there, but I don't really know. I don't know yet. I don't know if that's going to translate well for me as far as, like, what I do. I don't know. But for girls...
Well, they do make money. That was the whole conversation about, like,
they make money.
They do make money off of it. But then we were talking about it, like, if there's some creepy bar customers that come in, because there's some bar customers that we just don't like, period.
Sure.
And then it's like, then you see that they subscribe to your OnlyFans, and you're like, this is gross.
Yep.
Like, that's where, like, well, the line of the two.
That's the difference, is these people now promote their shows to their OnlyFans subscribers. And now you got dudes who jerk off to you.
Yeah.
Who are just showing up at the show to meet you. I don't know if they're all of them are showing up to laugh and be your comedy fans. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. You know, I think to make the money that we're thinking, like that minimum of like $5,000 a month, you'd have to really show.
I think
some
what Josh
stuff.
Is trying to figure out here is what's better, the OnlyFans or the Hut? What's the better?
No,
the better
she
band?
Uses the Hut to promote the OnlyFans.
Oh, it's a tandem.
It's a
situation.
River that flows
sorry,
into an
lost.
Ocean of money.
Does she
I got
do
lost.
OnlyFans?
Yes.
Oh, that makes sense.
All everything so she... streams towards the OnlyFans.
Okay, then that
so,
makes sense.
So, like female comedians that do OnlyFans, they do OnlyFans hardcore, and then they get those subscribers up, and they start plugging their. Their comedy shit.
Because you can tell, because all of a sudden they have like 5,000 followers, and then you're like, boom. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, you're doing OnlyFans.
And then when you collab with someone, mm-hmm. like, you could get a lot of, that's a lot of followers. That's how they get is when you do a collaboration with another mm-hmm. content creator.
Then you show up to my show and I'm in a blazer.
Yeah,
I know.
Right? Like you're going to a job interview.
I know. Well, it is funny what some of the younger, like, I don't know, female comics, but what they wear on stage is interesting. That I'm like, oh,
well,
you're in spandex
that.
Shorts and a sports bra. Oh, I don't even wear that to the gym.
What do you
like,
what do you remember when you started the rules?
Don't wear shorts.
Yes.
Don't ever wear
well,
shorts
was,
on
that
stage.
That was a universal yeah. one. I right. remember even as men. But yeah. there was always like, I remember talking to years and years ago, Cynthia Levin, who's a very funny comedian.
Oh, I love Cynthia.
But it's like talking about, like, okay, as a woman, do we have to make ourselves look less attractive to be taken seriously. Like, that was a real thing.
Yeah.
Now I think it's the reverse.
Well, the rule was, I thought, that you want, like, the men to listen to you and the women not to be intimidated by you. So you want to be a universal, like, line between that they're like, oh, she's really funny, but not that you're being distracted by what you're wearing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's for both. But guys, it's pretty easy for you guys. You wear kind of, like, the same,
yeah.
you know.
I
like to show my bulge, but that's just for the Saturday Night Late Show.
The old
that's
bulge.
Actually, that camera is it's on that
it's pointed right
five at optic zoom. It's just a bulge cam, actually.
That's my only
if
fan.
If a bulge
that's
is noticeable, it's like, wow, it's got some bulge on him. Like,
I like to attract just a certain fan base.
Coming up with the gray sweatpants just on stage, you're like, oh, that's nice.
Just a pair of Umbros.
Umbros.
I think for a man, though, I would be... I don't know. You get a hard time. Do men get jealous of you because of your prowess on stage and they cause you to feel less than up there or they're mean to you?
Cause me to feel less than?
Yeah, any of the men who get jealous of you and your life.
I don't think
work.
There's too many people that get jealous
like
of me.
I like you're saying this with a straight face.
I don't think there's too many people that get jealous, man.
I feel like my nose is so fucked because it's been bashed in that I have to be, not silly, but I can't necessarily be angry on stage. I found that out. If I look anywhere angry, it ruins the whole vibe.
Oh,
it's a,
sure.
not a great vibe from my face to
sure,
look angry.
I don't do that. Yeah, angry, yeah. Just because I have a hard time making angry funny. Like when I go in yeah. on somebody and I feel it's angry, I'm like, oh, this is not mm-hmm. good. I gotta pull back.
See, yeah, I never see you being angry. Well, let me ask you guys, is there some like a male comic that gets on stage and you're like, oh, I have to follow him, like in the look intimidating factor that you're like, oh, this guy?
No, it's usually somebody okay. that does like a lot of like noises. That's
when
I get
when Ed's opening for Michael Winslow, he's angry. It's not a great day at the
somebody
office for Ed.
Do like a lot like a Daffy Duck kind of thing.
Well,
like,
I'm fresh off doing a show this weekend, one of my favorite shows to do in the city. I did Shtick a Pole in It.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I
love
Shtick a Pole in It. And
show.
Dan and Joanna run
yeah.
it. It's great. It's love twice it. A month. But I was like, what do I wear for Shtick a Pole in It?
Oh.
And I have an issue, I realized, like a complex where I don't know what to wear on stage because even when I recorded myself, I looked awful and I was wearing all black, which is supposed to be slimming. Mm. And I was like, I don't know if it was the angle or what it was, but then...
That's a hard room to shoot in, though. It's a giant place.
And I was telling my sisters, because it's pole dancing stand-up comedy, and I was explaining to them the next day, and they were like, yeah, but Teresa, you're supposed to be covered up. You're not dancing. And I was like, I know, but I just never know what to wear. Like, I try to do, like, the, like, should I be sexy for this show? Should I, like... Because everyone in the audience looks good. Like, people come dressed up
yeah,
for that
yeah,
show.
Yeah, it's like a clubbing night.
So it's,
they
yes.
really
and the venue's
it's a hard
sexy.
Room, too. Like, I had mm-hmm. a good set, but it was earned. It's
yeah.
definitely because it is hard to follow a smoking hot, in shape, trained pole dancer. And they do a great job of segueing. So the show is great. But it's not like one of those shows you think you're going to go in and destroy because it's just packed, pumped audience. Mm-hmm. You're definitely working with. So I think even showing any skin, you're like, we just saw a girl half naked. Yeah, like, I what know. Could you right. wear?
I was all like, covered up. Yeah, you know? I was like, oh, I wore a little lace. And I was like, I'm sexing it up in my black lace, the long sleeves. So I was like, oh, gosh, I don't know. And then I talked to one of the dancers.
Like, what an old lady would wear on a pendant.
I know.
Long sleeve lace.
It's like a brooch.
My brooch, my scarf.
Brooch.
I was like, scarf. Oh, gosh. Like, and she, the one woman after, she was phenomenal. But, like, she had, like, it was very revealing, her like, top. And then I had a conversation with her, but like she had her pasty was sticking out, and I didn't want to be like, oh, let me help you put that back in. And I
think
like,
we're
I
hearing your OCD just really bothers you. Between the woman's twisted bra and this lady's titty pasty.
You
want to fix some of these fucking pictures that are crooked?
We look at the other things, like you guys are looking at something on stage, and I'm like, look at her core strength. What is her workout regime? Oh my gosh, she's so strong.
So you're saying that you are now trying to figure out what is a good way to dress on stage,
yes,
for you.
With all, yes, because everything's now like you post just like this. I was like, what should I wear on stage for sitting on a couch?
That's a good one.
Like, so, thank you. Thanks. Yeah. And so, but just, yes, because everything's now reels that you record and then you post.
Yeah.
Before it wasn't. So.
But what are you selling? Like, you're just flat out funny. So what's like the brand? Help me with this. What is, you're not selling, like, you don't go up, get up there and necessarily talk about sex. And if you do, it's like
but it's like a funny way.
Uh-huh. Like, you're always taking the L in some of these stories that I've heard you tell about sex. Like, it's like you're being funny. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're like, and then when I was getting boned by two dudes at once. It's not like a blatant I'm this sex kitten, hear me roar.
Right.
So what's the brand? Like, what do you, well, how should you dress based mm-hmm. on your act?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Where I want it.
I just wear a t-shirt.
Yeah, Ed's colorblind. Yeah. He's out of this conversation. He almost fell asleep now.
I wear like the same.
I wear tan and taupe.
He goes. Ah, look at you. You was that a new shirt? I'm like, it is. It is my fourth shirt. I now have four shirts.
It's so easy for you guys. Like, you're never gonna be running late because I didn't know what to wear. That's just not.
No, but you know what though?
Your...
Like, Ed's like
he
that because
he spends a little more time.
He's
ironing his jeans.
Yeah, I don't mess around. Like, I want to look pulled together.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to mess around. I want to look pulled together. It's an event for me. And also, that's kind of the brand that I'm putting out. Ed is fitting the brand he's putting out, which is like, I don't give a fuck. I'm fucking colorblind. I got four shirts. Like, that's his brand, is the four shirt guy.
Well, I used to wear, pre-pandemic, I used to always wear a buttoned-up shirt, and I lost.
It doesn't fit you. Doesn't look right
like
on
it.
You anymore.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One time we were trying to coming up for ideas for shows. Oh. One of our first road gigs, and I was like, "What do you think about doing like speakeasies? Isn't it we'll wear like a suit?" I thought he was gonna cry.
He goes like, "No." He goes, "Yeah, we wear like you know like blazers or something." And I was like, and he's going on and on. And I remember I was in jury duty, so I'm standing in a hallway in a stairwell in between, like jury duty, and I'm like, "Yeah." So I said, "Hey, can we go back to the blazer?" Can I just
you
jump back?
Complex.
I could just go back to the blazer.
Like, it was what a you... throwaway. Like, I don't know. We were trying to come up with shit to do. He was like, I can't do it. I thought he was. I could feel him folding through
man.
The phone.
The whole thing. I didn't catch anything after that. There was about five more minutes of information. I was just like, I'm not wearing a fucking blazer. I felt like I was like.
What should Teresa wear? Teresa wears a blazer.
I do. I wear blazers. I try to wear, and even my comedy now, for women my age that relate to it. So this was kind of funny. So at the show on Saturday, I like opened up with like wearing a sundress. And like, I have a joke about my ex-boyfriend loves me in a sundress. Easy access. I'm like, to what? My Spanx? Because that's what's under my sundress.
Yeah.
And it didn't go that well. And then I realized so many of the audience were other dancers. They don't need Spanx.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, except for the one woman in the front that was thick. That was also dying. And I was like, oh. And it didn't occur to me. And I was like, that's why that didn't. But if you put me in a room with other people that are, you know, similar to me, that's kind of what I'm
oh
like,
right, because there are a
for.
Lot of other dancers. There's a lot of
that
like
go and
very
support
you.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
You can't relate to a joke if you've never worn Spanx.
You're right.
And then they felt bad for me. Like, I did one
that
was
the worst.
And then I was like, I heard an awe on one of the things, but they were great. It was a great show. But then I was like, oh, I don't want you to feel bad for
of
me.
Course, yeah.
And then that made me feel bad for myself.
Well,
like,
you're so deprecating.
I swear to God, Spanx.
I'm okay. I'm okay, everybody.
It's like
no idea what you're missing.
Self-deprecating is the style, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. This isn't. And then when they feel bad for you, you're like, God damn! Not only did I just take a shit on myself for a laugh, But I didn't even get the laugh. I got the pity.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I couldn't even come up with the laugh to like step up on.
And I did the act out and everything.
Insult to injury.
I was like, you know, like when your legs start touching and then you're walking like a duck for the rest of the day, you gotta Vaseline them, like, you know, you're a boxer going into the ring.
Models in the fucking like,
no, wrong crowd.
This is how you do the Victoria's Secret show. Like, you just open with your Spanx joke.
And then another comic was there watching, and so we were friends, and we were talking about it, and he's like, well, you could have turned it on them and been like, what, you skinny bitches? And I was like, I don't know how that would have gone. Yeah, and then I'm like, I don't want to do that. Yeah. Like, I was like, let's just
they probably would have laughed at that because it's like, yeah, that's right. We're getting shit on for being great.
Yeah, and
people love being shit on for their greatness.
Yeah, I guess so. That room is I'm trying
to talk about it in general, but that room maybe not.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm glad I didn't go that direction because that's not my I don't do that anyway usually in my set. Like sometimes, but like, not a lot.
Yeah, you're a very cheery person.
I try to be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like when you're hosting, it's a very good vibe.
I compliment the audience, which is funny because people don't want to sit in the front and I always end up complimenting them. And I'm like, you should have sat in the front. I'm just raining compliments on you people. All the good-looking crowd that's here, like the reverse heckler. Just want to make you feel good about yourself.
Telemarketing was the worst job. Have you been fired? Like, have to go in and get fired? You ever dated somebody that went bad? Like, come on, there has to be something.
I've dated people that have gone bad. I've never been fired, though, I have to say.
Wow.
Like,
oh, wow.
No, I'm pretty good. I've quit.
How many restaurants do you think you've worked at?
Oh, God. For one day, probably like 10, 15.
10, yeah, 15. 10. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did quit that Ginger Man job. I worked there for almost 8 years, and I quit. I didn't give 2 weeks. I was like, I'm out. Like,
what do they do to make you do that?
I was just sick of training all the people, and then I like trained.
You were the most senior. When you hit like 3 years at one of those jobs, you're the most senior person.
But the money's good. So if you get in a place where the money's good, like where I work right now, it's like we have managers, but like we're, you know, you don't have to ask a manager for like a buyback or something,
okay. Oh, right.
Which is nice. So it's like, and when the money's consistent, you'll stay there for a long time.
Yeah.
And then some places, not so much. Like, oh, I went for a job interview at the Patriot. Do you remember the Patriot downtown on Chambers Street?
Hell yeah, dude.
It's closed now.
Man, I have a great story about the Patriot I'll do off air, but yes, I've been to the Patriot.
Oh my God. So when you're talking about like, using sex and everything, because they dance on the bar there sometimes. Oh, okay. Like they were like in like a bikini top, and
like
at
a
the
coyote
time,
ugly type thing or something like
similar,
that.
Yeah. Not as like choreographed.
I've
dance
never been
routines.
There when they had the dancers. I've only been there because
would they dance on the bar? No, I think they were just scantily clad more so.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of Raccoon Lodge.
Wow, that sounds
over there.
Like a
anyway,
classic.
Tell your story.
Raccoon Lodge.
Raccoon Lodge.
They're just giving hand jobs with a shot of beer.
I think of a Hangnail Charlie's.
Name of a place that would be hilarious.
Hangnail
it's
Charlie's.
Right next to the Bikini Hut. Just go
my
to
basement bar.
I honestly think that might be the name of this episode.
Back to my feet. These hokas.
So you're working there, and then you start dancing on the bar.
No, I just went for a job interview. Uh-huh. And the bartender...
Like, get up on the bar. We got to see what you can do.
It was all professional. You know I went there with some biz cash. I was all buttoned up. I was just trying to get myself a job. And then the bartender was like, you want to do a shot? I was like, oh, no, I'm here for the job interview. She goes, do you want to do a shot? Because like, we're supposed to drink like at work. Yeah. And they were supposed to. And then I was like, just don't think this is the right fit. I also went once to a forklift job interview because I am from Pennsylvania. And so it was, again, like $16 an hour. And I walked in and like did the interview and he was like, do you have any forklift experience? I was like, no, no. And then he's like, are you afraid of heights? Because you would have to get on top. I was like, I'm afraid of heights. And so I was like, well, nice to meet you. This interview has been great. And he started
like
laughing.
You just do a Russian roulette on LinkedIn and start showing up to interviews?
It's like speed dating. I was really good at it. I was like, didn't get that one. I was trying. I worked at a science center
just
doing.
Pulling off the business cash. You know, like, wait yourself underneath, just walking into the next job.
Oh, God.
What did you just say you did?
Oh, I worked at a science center in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the Whitaker Center. And so I was acting, doing like science shows at the Static Electricity Show. But I know nothing about science. Like I made a joke where I was like, I didn't know what totality was. So I had to Google that. And I wrote that last week on Facebook. And someone commented who I worked with at the science center. She was like, we worked together at a science center. I was like, I was just hungover all the time. I was falling asleep in the theater. I just memorized the words. And we had organs.
Cynthia.
Like, oh gosh, we have organs.
I like to think that Teresa's just playing with that thing that makes her hair stand up.
I know.
That's her whole part.
It's a human day, guys.
It's huge.
for 30 minutes.
What a pop Teresa got on the humid day one. What a pop. Well, okay, now this is a question before we wrap up that I'm dying to know. We always talk about how much we don't hate the business, but the business is once you get all the mist out of your eyes and the nostalgia and the romance, it's a hard business. The performing part's amazing, but you know, finding an audience that'll buy tickets to see you perform, clubs putting you up, all that stuff's very, very stressful. And then also you have that other side where it's like a real life. At some point you have to lead a real life. I mean, I've had a ton of shitty jobs, but because I'm the office part of this show, they seem stable because I show up to a place at the same time, I leave at the same time, and I'm doing the work, and then I leave. You guys work jobs where every day is kind of different in the sense of like there is some like, oh, I got to fucking lift this keg. I had to lift the keg today. Like you have to do things that are kind of out of the job description but are in the job description. Mm-hmm. How do you manage that as you get further and further into your career as far as like, is there a plan B? Is this the only plan? Are you going down with the ship? What's going on? I want to know.
Oh, that's a tough conversation.
I'm 43. Ed's approaching 50. The old 50. Oh, you are 50. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're there now. 50. That's right. I forgot. Yep.
50. Happy 50th. Yeah. I'll be 42 next month.
So, I mean, so, we're in a similar boat.
Yeah, it's true. It's that for me, it's more so just like the talking to the customers, and I don't work that far from like the Comedy Cellar. So then I hear everybody going to the, oh, we're going to the Comedy Cellar. Even my coworkers like, oh, we're going to a show at the Comedy Cellar. I'm like, you've never seen me perform, but
it stings a little.
So there is like, and then sometimes I've waited on customers and then I've seen them at the show that night that I'm on. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. But the plan right now, I make consistent money. So that's the plan. So it's like, if I were to go sometimes to an office job, that would be, I would lose, I think, a little bit. So that it's, I know, but it's like, what's the, my mom one time was like, what's your 5-year plan? Not to die. Someone asked her that. And I was like, that's kind of funny. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, I know, it's a hard, it's
I'm always,
tough.
I feel like, cause as a, men have it one way because, you know, you give up a lot, period, to be a comedian. Mm-hmm. But men can have babies till they're whatever age. They could get somebody pregnant and figure that out. But I feel like with women, if you did want that and do stand up, you'd have to have the infrastructure in place to do so, which a lot of us don't have access to. So I always find that kind of like interesting of that decision to be made. I feel like female comedians have to make a bigger decision sometimes to stick and go with it, even when they are uber successful and what they have to give up.
Well, I think it's because I had to go through that decision too.
In like, what sense?
Are we going to have kids? Are we going to adopt? Are we going to do all? Are we going to do the things? And it was like,
but not the same as a woman has to go through.
It's not a biological. Yeah, it was not like I don't have like a biological thing to it. Right.
The clock. I'm not. I'm good with that now. Yeah. Like I'm not going to have. Look me in the camera. I'm not going to have kids.
It's your camera.
Where's my camera? I'm looking at the wrong one. Oh gosh, well,
there's
I'm
three
looking
of them.
At the phone.
One of them caught you.
Okay, over there. Oh gosh. I mean, I've made peace with that. Where I'm just like, I'm not going to do it on my own. It's okay. But you really have to. This is interesting. I submitted for cruise ships and I was looking at one of the websites of it and they have like 50 some men and like 8 women.
Yeah.
Because that would be a very difficult thing to do if you have kids. You would not want to leave your family. You would not want to do
and
all
I
that.
And I wouldn't have asked you this question 5 years ago. But because I have a kid now and I saw how hard it was for me to maintain any kind of performance schedule and seeing what my wife has to go through with her, you know, she's a writer with her stuff. I couldn't imagine a comedian having to do that without some serious, not only partnership, but infrastructure built around you. You have to have a lot. And I feel like more than what like a man would have to have. I just know it's more. You'd have to have more access.
And you also, your priorities shift.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't really want to go do that spot for however, $25 or whatever it is.
Because you'd rather
be at home. And you would rather, you know, maybe you want to get out and do that. But it does change and that does evolve.
Yeah.
And you have to make that, women have to make that choice, make that priority. And then you see kind of, there's not that many women that do stand up at a certain age. Can I mean do we agree on that? Like,
well,
it does vary.
Like the wheel cogs, if you will. Like, you know, I'm from clubs, you know, where I've started where there are guys still performing there in their 60s who I knew when they were in their 50s and they haven't done a road gig in 10 years, but they're still able to like pop out and have a hobby. And I agree, there's not as many women who aren't actively touring still at that age that are still coming into the club. You're right. Yeah. I've never seen that. And I've been around a while. So you're right.
That's why like something like, I mean, it's older, but Funny Women of a Certain Age is great.
Yeah.
Because people, like, I know for me, like, going back to, like, what's my brand? But, you know, people who are 40 have money if you've been working.
Yeah, dude, it's a great demo.
And if, that's my demo.
Like, you would clean up in the Midwest and the South. You would clean up. They would love you.
Thank you. Yeah. And so that's why, like, at certain shows where I'm like, all the women are laughing. Like, I did a gig in Rhode Island last week, and I was like, it wasn't more of an older, like, 35 and older crowd. Mm-hmm. And so when I was like, I got the women, and I was like, that's what matters. Yep. And then the men were laughing too, because the women were laughing. But that's, does that make sense?
And you know, I know it's have to wrap up, but the other side of this is also, you know, I think it all connects to the reality we talk about on the show all the time, where, you know, I'm always like crotchety about how stand up isn't as like painful anymore. Like, people get into it. Mm-hmm. They not like, Ed is a former crackhead. That's why I relate to Ed. Like, we have baggage. And I feel like now, with the way things are, a lot of people get into stand-up because you have more access to it, and it's people that might come from money and blah, blah, blah. And then there's another end of it where it's like, now you have to make these really hard sacrifices in a world where already people who already have stuff are getting ahead of you. So it's difficult.
Because that's who, I'm a dog walker. Not saying that that's not, you know, people can make a lot of money doing that. Yeah. But it's also interesting when your parents pay your rent.
Yes.
I mean, my parents don't pay my rent. They never have. That's what that's like a...
It's a whole new thing now that we never thought about before that now we have to think about. All right. Plug where you're at, Teresa.
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram at Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, DeGaetano, D-E-G-A-E-T-A-N-O. That's also my Facebook. This week I'm hosting 10:30 at Tribeca Comedy Lounge, but I don't know when we're doing... when this is coming out.
A week and a half, actually.
Okay, never mind. May schedule yet. But follow me for my videos, Instagram. And I do something called Tales from the Tables, which comes from my bartending stuff.
So much fun.
Great. So I do those to put myself out there, and I get a lot of material from that. And that's a lot of two camera, if you want to see my face up close.
You can follow me at Josh Ricardo and go to joshricardo.com. Also, Working Class Holes Comedy Tour. Houston, Seattle, Connecticut, other places too. Well, it's on the site, joshcarter.com. Go ahead, Ed.
Follow me on Instagram at Ed McGowan Comedy. Go to edmcgowan.com to see my dates. They're going to be the same. Email us at workingclasscomedians@gmail.com. If you've ever worked in a restaurant or a forklift company,
or bone spurs,
or if you have corns, tell us all. She doesn't have corns. We'll see you guys again next week.
You can listen to us on all major podcast platforms every Wednesday. You can follow us on Instagram at Working Class Holes. Also, make sure you watch the full show on YouTube. All you got to do is type in Working Class Holes. And please don't forget to rate us 5 stars and tell a friend. Come on.